We continue this week in the book of James. James is a letter to the church outlining how we are to live as Christians in this world. I was supposed to be preaching on taming the tongue this week. And while I think it's likely that any one of us might need that reminder from time to time to tame our tongue, we're reading this week from another section of James that includes instructions not only about what we are to say, but also some broader instructions that may help us, help guide us in how we're supposed to live as Christians in this world today. So we're reading from James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with humility, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Though the book of James is a sort of a letter to the church, in many ways, James is really what you might call a kind of wisdom writing. Wisdom literature in the Bible is like the book of Proverbs with short sayings, witty little one-line instructions to help to form us and to guide us. The book of James is an attempt in the early church to say that the Christian life and true wisdom are really one and the same. To say to us and to the world around us that this is what wisdom looks like. The Christian life is wisdom. Wisdom is not just about knowledge or about common sense. It's not about saying or believing the right things. True wisdom from above, as James says, is the Christian life. It's following Jesus. James says, you think you're wise, you think you understand, don't tell me, show me by your good life. We've been talking the past couple weeks about putting our faith into action. James insists that faith without works is dead, that our words are meaningless if they aren't reflected in the way that we live our lives. He says we're deceiving ourselves if our faith doesn't lead us to action. So today, when James is talking about wisdom, wisdom for James isn't just knowledge, it's a way of life. Wisdom from above is the Christian life, faith that comes alive into action. James says that wisdom from above begins with humility. Our scripture today starts with a question. It says, who thinks they are wise and understanding? Then show by your good life that your works are done with humility, born of wisdom. Submit yourselves to the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, James says. This is wisdom from above. It begins with humility. A couple weeks ago, we had our church softball game where our two first Christian teams played each other. And it was a good game. You may not think that I look much like a ball player, and you'd be right, but that night, I really wasn't too bad, though. I had a good catch. Colton Johnson hit it out really hard into left field, and it really should have gone over my head, but I ran, and I jumped, and I caught it. I was feeling pretty good about myself. This last Tuesday was another story. I was dropping it right and left. And a while into this, what was becoming a disastrous game for me, one of the Nazarenes. We were playing the Nazarenes, and they, probably their best hitter, hit it really hard, and I was running back, and I was running and looking back to catch the ball, and not watching where I was going, and failed to notice that there was this fence that, you know, marks the back of the, and the ball went over, and I tried to go, you know, through it, and bounced off the fence, landed on the ground, a little bruised, mostly my pride. Consider me humbled. I've heard that life is a long lesson in humility. Sounds right. More than that, the Christian life calls us to embrace this lesson, to humble ourselves. This is the beginning of the wisdom from above. John Calvin once shared a story that a certain public speaker was asked about what was the chief rule in speaking well in public, and the man replied, delivery. That's the first rule. And the second rule was delivery. The third rule, just the same, delivery. And so Calvin further insisted that if he was asked what the big rules for the Christian life would be, he would respond that the first rule is humility. Second rule is humility. And the third, just the same. And always he would respond, humility. I could hear this message. I could preach this sermon every week, and it wouldn't be enough for me. I don't know about you. As opposed to the wisdom of this world, which James says is bitter, envious, and selfishly ambitious and boastful, wisdom from above is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit. This is what it means to have the wisdom from above. It begins with humility and carries out deeds of mercy and kindness. The wisdom of the world, on the other hand, is divisive, it's loud, arrogant. It doesn't care who it hurts. In our scripture from James, just a couple weeks ago, we read that Christians should be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. Now he says we should be peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy. There are sadly a number of clear advantages to following the wisdom of the world. We may get ahead that way. Our culture is so committed to this kind of wisdom, even we ourselves can sometimes fail to see the wisdom in humility and kindness. So there are times when any one of us might fall back on that more familiar kind of wisdom. If we begin to cause someone else hurt or harm, then we have surely forgotten the wisdom from above. If we become selfish, argumentative, fighting over the smallest things, then we're not living by this wisdom from above. If we refuse to listen to what others have to say, if we just want our own way, if we've become hardened and we have no feelings for those around us, then we're following our own wisdom, not God's. It's not always easy to get to commit to the Christian life in this way. We have to kind of continue to learn this lesson again and again, to be converted to this way of wisdom in the Christian life over and over. James says, humble yourselves before God. Submit yourself to God and to the way God calls you to live. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. There have been a number of seasons in my life where I just wanted what I wanted out of life, where I was going to lean on my own understanding to get there. I was going to go my own way, and that's never wise. As we go on our own way, thinking we're the master of our own lives, if we're in charge, who needs God? We're pulling away from God's way. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. The wisdom from above is a way of life that we learn to walk in as we learn to humble ourselves before God, as we draw close to the presence of God. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. The wisdom from above, humility and kindness, are those signs in the life of the Christian who continues to humble oneself before the Lord and knows that, that really God is the true source of our wisdom. We have to remind ourselves, humble ourselves before the Lord, and as we do, we commit again to the life of faith and action, the wisdom from above, where we follow always in the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who in a world so deeply committed to this wisdom of this world, Jesus was unflinchingly devoted to God. He lived his life carrying out deeds of mercy and kindness, humbling himself even to the point of death. Barbara Brown Taylor said that in Jesus, wisdom from above met wisdom from below, so that everyone could see which one was which. On the cross, we could see. If anyone had the right to be proud and self-assured in this world, it was Jesus. But he humbled himself before God and lived his life, carrying out deeds of mercy and kindness and humility. The way of the Christian life that we're called into, this wisdom of God, is likewise to humble ourselves before the Lord, to live our lives carrying out deeds of mercy and kindness and humility. This past week, as we surely have all heard, there was a tragic shooting in an Orlando nightclub, killing 50 people, injuring many more. And though, as the preaching pastor this week, it may be easier to just not address it, I think it may be irresponsible not to. In our Sunday school class each week, we talk about stories from the news. We've talked about violence throughout the world several times now, too many times. This kind of hatred and violence has been happening far too often. It's hard to not get a little numb about it all. In the last week, I've gone from numb to angry and upset and back. It's hard to know what to do with it, how to respond to this kind of hatred and darkness in this world. James says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Be gentle, be merciful, be willing to yield. In the Gospel of John, it says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness will not overcome it. This is our hope. This is our prayer. This is the life that we're called into through our deeds of mercy and kindness done in humility. As we live into this way of wisdom in the way of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness will not overcome it. Amen.